Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Last September, we spoke to Dr. Claire Dunn from Lesbos. She was a doctor working in the Moria refugee camp. And there had been a bit of a disaster there, a crisis when the refugee camp went on fire. She's back working in Ireland now, and she's, along with other teachers and doctors and other people who've worked in volunteer capacities around the world, have launched the 400 Welcome campaign. And Claire is on the line to tell us about it. How are you doing, Claire?
Hi, Ray. Thanks for having me.
Good to talk to you again. I don't know if you saw the cover of the Irish Times today.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, that must have brought back memories to you. It's a picture of a burnt out refugee camp from Bangladesh. The Rohingyas had left Myanmar, and they were occupying these refugee camps in Bangladesh, and the whole thing went on fire. 15 people dead, 400 people missing. Similar to what happened in Moria back in September of last year.
Absolutely, yes.
We've no idea, really, you know, from what goes on in these places. And well, you do, obviously, but most of us don't. It's horrific, isn't it? The living conditions in these refugee camps around the world.
Well, that's the thing. I suppose, you know, since I've come back, sometimes when I've been talking to people about my experiences there, you know, they say things like, well, you know, at least they're safe now that they're in Greece. But the reality is these camps on the Greek islands aren't safe. And, you know, since February, there have been 5 fires in the new camp that's been created on the island. And we know that the soil in this new camp is in parts contaminated with high levels, dangerous levels of lead. And we've all probably all seen pictures of the frequent flooding, of tents collapsing.
Ah, we've lost Claire. We lost her for good. Try and get her back up there. Of course, a few years ago, more than 5 years ago, we were constantly seeing the pictures of people leaving the coast of Turkey, trying to get to the Greek islands. And there were some iconic pictures of the child on the beach and, you know, 20 or 30 people in an inflated dinghy trying to get across that stretch of the Mediterranean Sea, and sometimes succeeding and sometimes failing. And I suppose it's gone off the front pages. So it's important that we talk to people like Claire. Can we get Claire back up? Or hello, Claire.
I think I'm here. Am
you're
I?
There. You're there now. Yes, you're there.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah.
I don't know when I dropped, so I don't know where.
No.
Off.
No. Well, yeah, well, about a minute ago, if you can calculate
okay.
That. No, I was just saying to people that you know, 5 years ago or so, we were seeing all those images of people trying to get from Turkey to the Greek islands, and then something happened 5 years ago. The EU made an arrangement with Turkey, and I suppose those. The pictures went off the front pages, so we need to remind people of what's ongoing in these camps in on the Greek islands. So
absolutely.
you were saying about the new camp and the soil.
Yeah, so I mean, and absolutely. So just when you were saying there about 5 years ago, and so what's happened is people are now being contained in these very inhumane camps and severely substandard living conditions where their basic human needs aren't being met. And that has been happening for the past 5 years. And over the past 5 years, we've seen time after time the profound physical and psychological impacts of these camps on people's health. And, you know, regardless of the terrible conditions in the camp, you know, not only just the squalid living conditions, but also the completely inadequate protection of vulnerable groups, the shameful lack of access to legal aid and advice and support in terms of the asylum process, and, you know, just general poor treatment of people in the camp. Tens of thousands of people have still made the journey across, you know, hostile borders, experiencing often, you know, police brutality at these borders and violence, dangerous seas, putting their lives and their kids' lives at risk. And they're doing this because they're facing impossible choices. They're fleeing what they perceive to be much worse than the conditions in these camps.
But of course, the conditions
in these camps are terrible, and they're unnecessarily terrible. And it's you know, a creation, essentially, a policy. It doesn't have to be this way. And that's part of the reason why we're calling for, you know, the evacuation or the relocation of at least some of these people to Ireland in solidarity with the experiences that people have had. Yeah.
Now, when we saw the pictures from the camp last September, the Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee, went on Twitter and said, we will have 50 of those people, which seems like a very small number. But anyway, that's what she said at the time. Where is that at?
So those 50 have not arrived to Ireland yet. And, you know, as I indicated, every single day people are at risk in these camps, at risk of fire, at risk of flooding, at risk of many other dangers, and also completely inadequate access to healthcare support. a lot of mental health impacts because the camps are progressing more and more to locked and closed camps now as well, so lack of freedom. So the people are still in the camp, and we're calling for 50 people to come urgently to Ireland, as was committed by the government. And we know that the procedures and the structures are in place for that. But we're also calling for an expansion beyond the 50 to at least 400 people, which we feel is a very reasonable and doable number.
Okay. We got on to the Department of Justice, and we got a response. The Irish government has agreed to welcome 50 people in family groups from Greece following the tragedy at the Moria camp. Irish officials from DCEDIY have worked with Greek authorities to select families. Arrangements are being made for the transfer of refugees following the necessary security checks. This will be done as soon as personnel are in a position to travel to Greece to carry out these checks. So that's how do you feel about that? That seems to answer it.
Well, I suppose I would just, you know, like to emphasise again the urgency of this, and that, yes, as you said, you know, we're not seeing as much in the media what's happening, and, you know, more and more journalists are not being allowed into these camps. NGOs and medics are not allowed to speak about what they see in the camp by law now, in terms of abuse and neglect. So, you know, just to kind of really emphasise that this is urgent, that people's health is being severely impacted, yeah.
Claire, will you just talk to us a bit about that then? Who has clamped down on journalists and people like you speaking?
Well, it's the Greek authorities. It was a Greek law that was enacted in December 2020 saying that no volunteers, NGO personnel or people operating within the camp can speak to what they see or hear within the camp. It was already a rule that was being enforced more or less even prior to the law, in that, you know, if a police person or if someone in a position of authority saw you taking a picture or a video in the camp, then, you know, you would be removed from the camp as a volunteer or as a medic. But now it's enacted in law. And then I suppose in terms of the journalism piece, the excuse at the moment is COVID. But, you know, I would question that. That it's, you know, making things more invisible, and what's happening in the camp, which is truly appalling, really more invisible to people.
So you want the 50 that have been promised and 350 others to be invited to Ireland, to be welcomed to Ireland.
Yeah. To be welcomed to Ireland, exactly. And I suppose just to speak about the people in the camp, you know, so there's people of all ages, newborns to older people, from a variety of backgrounds, lots of different skills and energies, and I think that people have already shown great bravery and strength in making it as far as Europe. And I've met some amazing people who I think would be an asset to Europe or any community. But unfortunately, they're being contained in these conditions that are making them sick. So, yes, we're calling on the Irish government to show humane leadership on this issue and to welcome 400 people who are in this camp to Ireland and to Irish communities. And we had a massive response to the 400 Welcome campaign that you alluded to in September. And I think that just shows that the will is there, that the people, you know, in many communities across Ireland want to support and stand in solidarity with those who are fleeing war and persecution. So if people wanted to get involved, they could follow us on Twitter or Instagram. And we have a petition going at the moment that I would encourage everybody to sign. Again, just putting pressure on governments and asking TDs to ask the relevant questions about getting more people out of this camp.
Is it difficult to get people motivated? I know you said that you did have offers of people who were willing to put refugees into their own homes, etc. But because it's at a distance from us and people would claim we have our own problems here and the pandemic, etc., do you find that people just don't want to hear about it?
Well, I suppose, firstly, you know, it wasn't... We had a big response in September, and yes, some of it was in relation to offers of bringing people into their own homes. But just to clarify that these people will be coming through an already existing program that's in place. I mean, when I speak to people about the stories of people within the camp, and I suppose the reality of the situation with the camp. In the camp, I actually don't think it's that hard to get people interested or motivated, but I think because they're not maybe seeing it so much in the media here until maybe they meet someone who's been there or have had the experiences, it's not as easy to connect.
And how are you settling back? You know, you're back working as a GP. Have you got itchy feet now? Do you think you'll do more voluntary work, or what will happen?
You know, I'm happy to be here for now, for sure, and I'm happy to be working in general practice. But I do see myself going back to Lesbos or similar settings in the future, for sure.
Okay. And what people can do to help is to bring this up with their local politicians.
Yeah, exactly. And to sign the petition that we have going, that's available on Twitter and on Instagram, the 400 Welcomes Uplift petition. And also, yes, to bring it to the attention of local government ministers.
Okay. Dr. Claire Dunn, thanks so much for taking time out to talk to us today. Thanks, Claire.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.